is here. Talk to him. Give him some. Skin to skin, bones to clones. Never leave your mind.
Welcome, welcome, friends, family, and disgruntled listeners to the third edition, still third edition, really it's the fifth episode, but the 3.3 edition of To The Maroon, a show about everything and nothing. And the reason why I'm doing this 3.3 is because now I'm covering a World Series that is a week old at this point by the time I put this out. And not only that, but I had a preview that I recorded that I wanted to get out before the World Series. And I even said in the recording, and I left it in because I like to leave in the mistakes. I left in how I was confident I was going to get this out on a Thursday, the first half of this recording, before the World Series. And now the World Series is totally done. Fail. Fail. So this is the reason why I'm tacking this on to the 3.3, you know, or making it 3.3, tacking it onto the other two is just I'm trying to like kind of combine these older ones. So it's kind of like a little obvious this stuff is at least a little dated. And I'm saying this, and you know what? I'm going to cover the last 2 weeks of the NFL. I don't care. I know I'm just going to, I really should just cover the last weekend, but I'm going to do the last two. I don't care. I'm going to do it. I wrote down a lot of notes. I'm going to do it, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go on to baseball. That's what I want to talk about real quick. Then World Series 2024 just ended, and I'm going to break down that and mostly talk about the MLB salary cap. A lot of that too, because there's a lot of talk about that, a lot of discussion. So let's just jump right in. Come on, philosopher. Take us to a good place.
Honey ball, boy. Give it. West Coast back in the fold, bringing the fire like that Santa Ana window. Sooner or later, gotta acknowledge this game. OG balance with that Minecraft thing. Hood to hood connections all across the globe. Put these vibes back where they belong. Been better since I stepped onto the scene. Kind of lyrics make your mama wanna sing. Unlock these doors, let me in. It's a philosopher with the gift of being. Musical tracks beginning to the end. California.
All right, so I'm gonna go back a little bit here because I have not recorded one of these in a minute. So I'm realizing that I am gonna have to go back. I know the World Series is gonna happen this Friday, and I hope to get this out by Thursday. I'm pretty sure I will. I know I will. I'm confident in myself, but I'm going to talk because I have some notes about the Cleveland Yankees series, because even though the Yankees did win, it looks like pretty easily when you look at the games, the actual games were pretty close, at least like the last couple. So I just want to talk about those because the World Series is, I'll get to it, but Dodgers, Yankees, come on, baseball. Baseball loves it. Baseball loves it. I'm saying, come on, baseball. Baseball, the commissioner's dancing. Commissioner's just dancing in his box right now. He's going, yeah, all right, let's go. This is like Lakers Celtics for them, right? They just can't get enough. So I'm going to talk about the Cleveland Yankees series, game three. So for a minute there, it looked like Cleveland was going to make it a series, because after the Yanks went up 2-0 in the Bronx, Cleveland was up 3-1 in game three going into the eighth. So it was that late in the game, right? But then Cleveland did the thing that I hate, which is the thing that the Astros did, and the thing that I think was a huge mistake what the Astros did with Josh Hader, which is basically Cleveland up by two with one guy on, eighth inning brought in their closer. I hate this shit, dude. The Astros, again with Hader, I think ruined their season when they brought in Hader in the eighth with a lead. They should have just left him for the ninth. I mean, I get it. Presley wasn't looking good, but he gave up a walk and a couple of hits. Now I'm going really back to the Astros series, jumping all over the place. But he also struck out a couple fools. You know, I'm just saying Presley probably could have got out of the eighth, then they could have had Hader for the ninth. And just, I hate asking your closer to pitch two innings. You know, it's just, it's stupid. And then he gets lit up. And then it's like, what, you're going to bring him in the next game for the ninth? It's just because he's in a situation that isn't normal for him. You know, it's not normal. It's like, you know, asking a quarterback to, hey, you know, you're going to sit out five plays on offense and then you're going to sub you in, come in, you know, throw a couple passes. It's like, what? All right. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's just, it's not fucking normal, man. Human beings are conditioned for repetition. Isn't baseball a sport that's about repetition? And then they panic in the postseason. It's not panic at the disco. It's panic at the postseason. Any opportunity these maroon managers decide to bring in their closers in the eighth, you know, it might work against the White Sox. But you do it against the Yankees. So they bring in Clase. This is Cleveland now, going back to game three, who's supposed to be their closer. And then Judge, what happens, launches a two-run homer off of him, ties the game. And then Stanton comes up and, yeah, you guessed it, gives up another home run. And then after the Yanks got another run in the ninth, 5-3, you thought it was over. You know, it was just kind of like, ah. Yep, this is what Cleveland does. So deflating, like a sad balloon, just so deflated. You know, crowd had no energy. And then down to their last out. Noel, bringing joy to the world. At least the world in Cleveland. And he ties the game at 5-5 with a home run. That was exciting. Then they go to extras, and then Fry hits the walk over home run, not walk off home run. I wrote walk over home run. I want to go with walk over home run. I know it's walk off, but I'm going to go with he hits the walk over home run. So stupid. All right. Well, what a crazy game that was. So range of emotions. But as my buddy once famously said to a streetlight while blitzed, stop playing with my emotions. Agreed, Dan. Agreed. What a game. And hopefully, you know, this is going to turn into a series now, is what I wrote. He said before realizing, of course, the Yankees are going to win. So, game four looked like Cleveland was just hanging around for half the game, right? It was 3-1, 3-2. And then what happens? Stanton hits a huge home run, three-run homer. Again, this guy Stanton. New York is calling him Playoff Stanton. Come on. This is the first time he's really doing this, right? Okay, I looked it up. He had 1 year in 2020 where he hit 6 home runs and 13 RBIs in 7 games. So that's pretty impressive. But regardless of that 1 year, other than those years, that 1 year, he basically hits one home run. So it's like not like every year he does this, right? Playoff Stanton. Whatever. Regardless, Stanton hits the three-run jack, and Yankees go up 6-2. Sort of feels like it's over with the Yankees. You know, they're going to go up 3-1 in the series with two games at home. And, you know, just Cleveland, it just keeps clawing back, man. It's just, it was crazy. They got back-to-back doubles from their star Jose Ramirez and Naylor off Clay Holmes, who is a really frustrating pitcher. I've had him in fantasy. He pitches lights out for a month, and then he gets lit up for 4 out of 5 games. I mean, you never know which version you're going to get. Like a shitty version of Tom Hanks. I don't even know what accent this is. I don't know what I'm doing right now. Trying to do like life is like a box of chocolates. And for some reason it came out like British and stupid. Except one of them chocolates is poison. Right? And it's not just one, it's half the box. That's Clay Holmes, going back to Clay Holmes. It's just half the box is poison. You know, it's like, thanks, Clay. Anyway, so back-to-back doubles. Believeland actually makes it 6-5. Oh, it's a game. And then Noel, the hero from game three, almost looks like he hits another home run to take the lead late. And that's why MLB playoffs is fun. You got these guys that become heroes, almost like folk heroes, right? You get hot for like literally a week or two, and they write stories about you for years. Remember Cody Ross, Giants fans? Oh, that was fun. Anywho, so later in the bottom of the eighth, Fry, the other white meat, the other hero from game three, I can say it, I'm white, I don't care. He's a little squibbler. He hits a little squibbler, a little roller to the pitcher, leader, and then going down the first baseline, and the pitcher goes to field it, and with like a million cc's of adrenaline going through his body, he runs down the ball, fields it, and he flips it over. But it's not even like a flip. It's like if a child tossed a football over to you, right, with all their non-strength, all their it had nothing on it. And it goes between Rizzo's legs as the ball dies in the air like a shot duck or something. And Believeland ends up tying the game 6-6 going into the ninth. And then in the ninth, Clase, supposed to be their guy, is not their guy again. Why? Because it isn't a save situation. The game is fucking tied. So Clase basically pulls a Catholic schoolgirl, perfect all year, then goes to college and loses her mind. Clase loses his mind. He has a great season. I mean, he really did. And then these last two games, game three and game four, he pitches horrible. Because one game he was brought into the eighth, and then game four, after pitching two innings the night before, which is stupid, but who cares? They're professional athletes. I get it. But after pitching in the non-save situation in the eighth, in game three, he pitches in a non-save situation in game four, coming into the ninth when the game's tied, but I get it. When else would you bring him in? I just think it's funny. Like, oh, so now the ninth is his inning? Then why was it his inning game three? Pick a fucking lane, you dipshit managers. Ah, this is frustrating. Maroons, dude. Anyway, so as you can imagine, he gets lit up. And basically, Yankees go on to win the series. That's just, it just frustrated me. I had to talk about that. I had to talk about how frustrated I am with the closing situation in baseball. It's very frustrating how they bring these closers in, mismanage them, non-safe situations. And then it's like, oh, what a shock. He got lit up. I don't believe it. Believe it. All right. So anyway, this World Series, it's going to be the Dodgers and the Yankees, New York and LA. They're going to hype the shit out of this. I'm sure they already are. I don't even know if I'm going to watch any of this. I mean, I probably am, but I say I'm not, and I won't, but I will. I'll watch it. This is the worst World Series ever. I mean, just go Yankees. I saw the Yankees earlier this year, so go Yankees. That's why I'm rooting for the Yankees. I saw that stadium. It's been, 15 long years since they've won, going all the way back to 2009. Poor guys. So it's just, you know, it's not fun because there's no fun, plucky team. You know, there's no David and Goliath. It's just David and David. It's just David and David-er. You know, it's David and David. It's just two of the highest payroll teams. It's literally 2 and 5 of the payroll teams. So it's like, of course, this is what my buddy said. My buddy, shout out to the Maroon, Dr. Maroon Steinberg. He's saying, oh, of course, the high payroll teams, of course they go and win. dude, they usually don't. That's the thing. I shouldn't say they usually don't. It's just like it happens enough times where a non-high payroll team wins. I'm just going to go back real quick, just a little fun. I love baseball history and just sports history in general because I'm a nerd. You know, I'm a nerd and I like sports. And this is the things I do. This is what I do. So 2001, the Diamondbacks won. They were not a top 10 payroll team. They just weren't. And they beat the Yankees. And it goes back to, you know, David and Goliath. And anyway, so 2002, the Angels won. They were not a top 10 payroll team. And that is very bitter for me because that was the Giants year. And I don't really want to talk about it, but I just brought it up. So I'm going to talk about it. I went to a World Series game there and it was standing room only. And it was the first time I ever went to a championship game or whatever, big game, and they lost. And I don't want to talk about it. You can hear it in my voice. I don't blame Dusty Baker. No, I was glad Dusty won later with the Astros. That was fun. Anywho, so going back to my argument, 2003, the Marlins win. Not a top 10 payroll team. 2005, the White Sox win. Not a top 10 payroll team. 2006, the Cardinals win. Not a top 10. Usually not. I don't know that year if they were, but usually the Cardinals are like a mid-range payroll team. They're like kind of like, you know, around like 8, 9, 10. I think this year they're 12 in terms of payroll. Like they're usually not like a top 10 lock it in payroll team. 2011 Cardinals again, but you know, you can argue if they're a top 10 payroll team, they're definitely a top team and they're probably borderline top 10. But anyway, finish my argument. 2015 Kansas City Royals, not a top 10 payroll team. In 2019 Washington Nationals, not a top 10 payroll team. It happens enough where there's not always, if it was always a top 10 payroll teams, then it would be boring, right? It would just be super fucking boring. It's just that it's usually top 10 payroll teams. Because I'm skipping around, right? I mean, obviously, it's like the Braves have won in 21, the Astros in 22, the Rangers last year. But the thing is that when the Braves won in 21, I don't think they were a top 10 payroll team. I think they were a young team that won, and they drafted well because they sucked for so long, and then they paid a bunch of money to a bunch of good players, and now they're a top 10 payroll team. You know what I mean? I think sometimes that's how it goes. However, am I not going to ignore the fact that if you are a top 10 payroll team, it puts you in a really good position to win? Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. I mean, like, duh. The difference between, like, let's say the Yankees and the Mets, they're at 300 plus million in payroll. That's not, you know, going forward or whatever. No, that's just for 2024. Otherwise, the Dodgers would be way up there, right? They'd be like number one or number two because they'd be fucking, I mean, Otani's like $3 billion, his fucking contract. They're paying him an island a day, whatever his fucking contract is. So the difference between the Yankees and the Mets is where I was going, is that they're 300 plus million. Just to juxtapose that with the A's, who are 63 million. I mean, that is a 240 million difference in 1 year. That is insane. That is wild. But the A's are kind of an outlier because they're the fucking A's. Let's just go to like the, I don't know, like the 20th teams, the 21st teams, like basically like the top 10 bottom teams. Even they, like Milwaukee, Baltimore, Cleveland, Washington, they're all around 100 million, 110 million. So even that, between like the Dodgers, who are 240 million, right? The Braves, 240 million. Rangers, 220. Like there's at least $100 million, if not way more than that, difference between them and then like the Yankees, Mets, which are even more differences, and like Houston, Dodgers, and Braves. So to say that isn't an advantage, of course it's an advantage. That's why they have really good players. And by the way, if you look at their team averages, not a coincidence that the top 10 payroll teams, their average age of their team is all like 29 and 30. Right? the quote unquote, like the kind of like the prime years of baseball players, usually like 27 to 32, kind of around that age. Whereas the bottom 10 teams are all like average age 26. It's like, yeah, 26, 27. Makes sense, right? It's all rookies and prospects. And what happens is those teams don't obviously pay the fucking players. And then they go on to the top 10 teams. And it just keeps cycles over and over and over again. And anyone who calls it out or is a true baseball fan, we're just aware of the system. It kind of is what it is. And this is my counter to my buddy talking about, oh, they need to make a salary cap. Dude, they're never going to make a salary cap. Get out of here with that shit. They're not. You think like the Yankees and Mets are going to make a salary cap or they're going to do revenue sharing like the NFL? Of course not. It's going to hurt them. It's stupid. It's like it makes no logical sense from a business point of view. They make no extra money. It's not like it generates more money. You're just giving money to your opponent and saying, I hope you win next year. Good luck. If they're not going to do it, man. They're not going to do it. While it would make it more fair for teams like, you know, the Pirates and the Marlins, you know, the A's. Would it make it more fair for teams like that? Yeah, of course. Would it be more fun? Yeah. But it's just, they're not going to do it. They're just not going to do it, man. The top media market teams and the top teams in baseball, they have no incentive to do it. The owners have no incentive to do it. I just don't see them doing it unless it gets to the point where the Mets and the Yankees and the Astros just win every World Series every year. They're just in it every year. And by the way, that doesn't happen. But if it does start happening, oh, it's going to get fucking annoying real quick. And trust me, I'll immediately change my argument. I'll flip so fast. I'll just be like, yeah, no, they need a fucking a salary cap. This is ridiculous. I'm sick of the Yankees. I'm already sick of them. I want them to win this year, and I'm already sick of them. All right, let's go. I know it's a week old, and I know no one gave a shit because it was the Dodgers-Yankees, unless you're in New York or LA, but let's talk a little World Series real quick, you know? Just break it down because it was at least, you know, the games at least were watchable. They were interesting, I feel like. But then again, I'm a sports nerd. I'm just a nerd. In general, just a weird guy into weird things. Moving on, World Series Game 1. Hard transition. World Series Game 1 was a pitching duel between Flaherty and Cole. And this is why, and I wrote this so funny in hindsight now, a week ago. Yes, I'm going to do that every single time. This is why I like the Yankees. You get three games of Cole. I really thought they would go 1-5-7. I thought they would. And then you get playoff Stanton doing PS6 things. Six as in that's how many home runs he hit at the time in this postseason, which is pretty good. And then Stanton hits a two-run homer down the left foul pole line. And then that combined with how Cole is looking, and it looks kind of like, okay, Yankees got this, right? Pretty good. Pretty hard to stop them. And then Cole pitches out of a jam later, out of a leadoff double by Edman. And he gets Ohtani, Betts, and Steady Eddie, Freddie Freeman. And Mookie smoked that second out like a Snoop Dogg blunt. Didn't matter. Right to Chisholm. Chisholm? I hardly know him. Throwback, Rodney. Anyway, Yankees have a 2-1 lead, bottom of the seventh, and they bring in Holmes. Oh no. Clay Holmes. Why does it haunt me everywhere? Patrick Mahomes, Clay Mahomes, even in my own Mahomes. Got to deal with this guy. I had him on my fantasy team. He gets lit up. So what happens? Mahomes leaves two on, and Canale, I'm going to screw that name up. Canale. You think if I'm trying to do a sport, I'm such an idiot. I'm such a baroon. Comes in to be the hero for the Yankees, and he gets Lux to ground out. So no Lux for the Dodgers with men in scoring position. Fast forward an inning. Yankees end up walking Mookie Betts to load the bases, and Freddie Freeman hits the walk-off grand slam. Jesus. First walk-off grand slam in World Series history. First grand salami after 700 games. Pretty impressive. So, yeah. That was, I feel like, when the whole series turned, was the Yankees blowing that game one. They should have won that game. So, going to fast forward here to game three, and Freddie bleeping Freeman does it again. First inning, two-run home run, and he really uses the ballpark dimensions to his advantage. It's a really short out to right field. This is now where they're in, you know, Yankees. And it's easy, you know, Yankees ballpark, I should say, not in the Yankees. Yankees are not a location, Danny. And so Yankee Stadium is easy for a lefty pull hitter. And the Yankees fans are already cussing and biting their nails before the team even has an at-bat. Here we go. Nervous Yankee fans, nothing better. And then Judge continues to strike out like me at the bars. Can't get any love. Relatable. Now is 1-for-10 with 7 Ks. Oof. Not great. Not great. And it looks like the Yankees might finally get on board in the bottom of the fourth here. They're down 3-0. Stanton's on second. Volpe gets a single to left field. And Stanton is not fleet of feet, let's say. And the Yankees' third base coach sends him. Who knows why? Because he's on Quaaludes or something. And Teoscar nails him at the plate to the surprise of no one. Even the Yankee fans during the replays, like on Instagram and stuff and social media, they're going, no! As soon as Stanton rounded third, everyone was going, no! What is he doing? They knew right away. And so it's just a backbreaker. I mean, you know, it's just like, I feel like the Yankees are just in their own heads at this point because there was no reason to send Stanton, right? I mean, he's not entering a relay race anytime soon. And you're down three. I get it if you're like down one and it's super late in the game or something like that and you haven't scored all game. I get it. You're down three and it's only the fourth. And you hit it to left field. Just seemed kind of desperate. So the Yankees are leaving more men stranded than online dating. Looking at you, Hinge. Looking at you. And the Yankees do get a two-run homer by Verdugo in the ninth, but it's too little, too late. Fall to the Dodgers, 4-2. And then now they're down 3-0 in the series. It's pretty much over. But let's just, you know, go through real quick these last two games, because even though they got their asses kicked, there was some entertainment. So, game four, will the Yankees avoid the sweep? Will the Dodgers get a non-bubble ring? Does anyone outside of LA or New York even give a shit? Find this out and more on game four of the World Series, featuring Luis Gill of New York versus Kasparius of the Dodgers. What a name. Kasparius. That's a name. Bow to your king, Kasparius. Son of Tostarius. I lost it there. Freddie Freeman does it again. Two-run homer. First inning. Hits a home run in every game. It's pretty wild. Someone test him. Just kidding. I'm just kidding, Freddie. All legit. But with the Yankees, how they've been swinging those bats kind of feels like, I hate to pull a my dad, a Fred. I hate to call it over immediately, but this feels over. Because I'm so good at calling things. But they had this sad piece about Freddie too before the game, how much he had to overcome with this melancholy music. It was just meant to be, you know, like it was almost like it was planned. People think football's fixed. I wonder if like everything's fixed, you know, like when the McRib comes back, I wonder if that's fixed. Like they know 5 years in advance, they're like 2029, McRib's coming back. gas prices are going to be $10. So Yankees did get a couple on to respond in the bottom of the first, but Kasparius, son of Titan Tostarius, was not scared. He was not such a friendly ghost. Somehow that Casper Kasparius, somehow that made sense to me. And he gets the and Kasparius gets the ground out from Stanton with the base open too. And after some poor base running by the Yankees, which was a theme this whole World Series, where they could have tied the game, but of course, they have to make it difficult, relatable, and it's now the bottom of the third with the bases loaded, and Hudson seems to be a little wild, like not full into the wild with Emil Hirsch, but he almost, look it up, you know, my old roommate, maybe watch it. Wild movie, pun intended, but he almost hit Stanton with, and this is Hudson almost hit Stanton, not Emil Hirsch. Catch up. Hudson almost hit Stanton, and after Rizzo gets up 2-1, he hits a laser. He hits a lazier than me fly ball. Leaving the bases loaded for local hometown, born and bred, always stead New York kid Volpe, who made the aforementioned base blunder earlier with the bases running where, you know, he got thrown out. And what does he do on the first pitch? Cranks it like a Yanker. Remember that show? Crank Yankers? Anyway, Volpe coming up large for the Big Apple, hitting a grand salami. I'm sure he won't forget that anytime soon, unless he has dementia, in which case, tragic for many reasons. Does he forget how many outs there are during innings? Like he just walks off the field. They're like, Volpe, there's one out. Volpe. He's like, I'm going to go get my meds. He's like, he's 22. How does he have dementia? Terrible disease. Find a cure. Let's go, people. I'm laughing at how absurd that transition is. I'm the king of transitions. Speaking of, Yankees end up going up 5-2. And later on, the New York variety of Wells adds to it. Make sure he knocks it out this time because he almost hit one out earlier in the game. Almost. And this time, he makes the lead 6-4 on some much-needed insurance because of the way their bullpen's been playing. And I'd plug an insurance company here if I had a sponsor. But who am I kidding? I'll never have a sponsor, right? I mean, first of all, no one's even listening. Second of all, who would sponsor this nonsensical trash? All right. Yankees end up having an explosive eighth, taking out all their frustration, capped with a Gleyber Torres 3-run homer. And where was this team games 2 and 3? Even 1, but games 2 and 3. It's like the Yankees should have made this a series. This should have been a fun, like, gone the distance 7-game series. But I digest. The Yankees do avoid the sweep, beat the Dodgers 11-4. And I wrote down at this point, at least they got Cole going to game 5. Well, dun dun dun, game 5, the rematch of Flaherty versus Cole. And Judge finally did his thing. Hits a 2-run bomber, New York bombers. And then it leads to Chisholm. I barely know him. Yep, I did it twice. And not Chisholm. Don't. Stop it. I meant the joke twice. All right. I meant the danger field. Okay, set up. You know what I meant. Chisholm hitting home. Can't even talk. Chisholm hitting a home run himself. It's just such a fun name. Chisholm. Chisholm hits a home run himself. And it feels like the Yankees are snowballing a little bit. Like, oh, here we go. They're going to actually make this a series. And later on in the game, Chisholm could have really blown the game wide open when he came back to the plate, bases loaded, 4-0. but he hits a ground out. And then the Yankees, I'm sorry, New York, the Yankees turn into the Bad News Bears. Y'all saw it in the fifth inning. Judge dropped the ball, basically dropped the trophy. Might as well have with the way he played that whole series. Nothing good. Got the bases loaded. And then Cole actually starts dealing, made Ohtani look foolish on a pitch down low. And then Rizzo completes the Bad News Bears replica. Cole doesn't cover first, who's really the Bad News Bears contender number one. And then Rizzo has no urgency, zero urgency. He just assumes Cole's going to cover first. And no one's hustling, keeps the inning going. And then it's just like, yeah, I mean, we all saw it. We all saw the highlights, but I'm just reliving it. I'm just reading the notes here going, Freddie hits a bloop. Teoscar hits a double. And just like that, the game's tied. The Yankees completely lost control of this game. And the Dodgers just felt like, yeah, like this is our game. These guys are the Bad News Yanks. These guys can't get out of their own way. And they couldn't. And the Dodgers were like, all right, we'll just take the trophy then. And they did. And Dodgers win 5 games. Couldn't even go 6. I thought I would go 7, at least 6. Couldn't even go 6. And yeah, congratulations to the Dodgers on the non-bubble ring. Congrats. This is my one hand clapping. If a one hand falls in a woods, does it make a noise? I don't know. I don't know if that picks up on the mic, but I'm not in the woods, am I? Even though I'm surrounded by wood. So, congrats to the Dodgers. Good for them. And will MLB need a salary cap? Only if the Dodgers and Yankees go to every World Series for the next 5 years and they just alternate who wins. I think after like the fourth time, like remember when the Warriors and Cavs played like every year for a time and like people were, unless you were a Warrior fan or a Cavs fan, you were just sick of it. You know, I feel like it would have to be like that level. If it got to that point, then I think even maybe baseball would step in and go, okay, we're losing fans. Everyone's calling us out. We might got to change some things. Until that happens, if next year, just throw out a team. If like next year, randomly, the Pittsburgh Pirates win the World Series, as crazy as that is, but that kid, Paul, is really freaking good. If somehow they're going to go, see, don't need a salary cap. Some rando team won it. There you go. So, yeah, we'll see. But I just have a feeling they won't do it. They have no incentive to do it. The rich people that are the ones in charge are the ones that'd be punished by doing it. So they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. So that is my rant on the salary cap, how they just won't do it. And that is the end of 2024 Baseball World Series. Wow, crazy. Just like that, it's over. And we'll have to wait a solid, 5 months now? 4 months? Until real baseball comes back. And I'm fine with that because football, mid-swing here. Football's midway through. We got basketball's back. Dubs are looking good. All right, so things to watch, things to do. So baseball season done. Thank God we fired Farhan as the Giants. Travesty. And that's all you can ask for. Hope. And 500 record. Better than 500. You hope then better than 500. We're not the Cincinnati Reds here. Come on. And yes, you hope for a lot of things. Let's just hope that sports isn't one of your top priorities. I know I'm doing a lot of sports podcasts, and I'm going to do a lot of sports podcasts, but it's a fun distraction. I know exactly what it is. It's a fucking distraction. It's something to just take you away from the bullshit that is life, but it shouldn't be your only thing that you care about. in life. You know what I mean? Like, if the fucking Niners lose on Sunday, it's not going to affect my week anymore. But if they don't beat the Bucks on Sunday, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, who cares? It's a sport. It's meant to be fun. If they lose, stew for an hour, maybe a couple, maybe that night. I get it. But to have it ruin your whole week, have it to ruin your whole life, who fucking cares? It's meant to be fun. That's why I'm trying to make this fun. Make it stupid. Make it light. Make it fun. And apparently make it dated. So yeah, I can't wait to start breaking down the 1986 Olympics. You guys want my scores? On the, you know, the beam? We get some scores out on, yeah, maybe some figure skating, some luge, a little luge action. All right, philosopher, save me, please. Save me. When we die, who's gonna cry? Does anybody say goodbye? Does anybody ride? Who's gonna funk with me down the way? 100 bar episode by your boy, the train. A.K.A. the philosopher, building back the tracks, back to back to back. Believe that. Yeah. Yeah. He gave it to me, so I'ma give it back. Yeah. He gave it to me, and I'ma give it back. Believe that. He gave it to me.